I tell you, brethren, you all make a very good impression on the first-time visitor. I mean that. I've never told a church that. But you are a very friendly group, and I thank you so much for the invitation to be with you. I'm looking forward to this, and I'm grateful that my wife is able to be with me this morning. This will be the only time she can be with me this week, and it's a real blessing to have her. I understand I only have, an hour and 30 minutes, the first lesson? Is that right? So I need to hurry and jump into this. That's what I prepared for. Now, I know we don't have a short service, so I'm going to go ahead and get started. And I understand how important this is. Okay, I know the value of studying God's Word, especially when life is filled with all kinds of different... Different...
I'm thinking you're trying.
I can't do this. I need to wait. What happened? Oh, okay. Well, I was going to wait to build up to that, but that's okay. So, I know the value of a really good introduction to a sermon, and so the value of studying God's Word, it's so important. And Jesus made this promise to us, though. And that is, if we want to draw closer to Him, if we want to be more righteous and overcome our weaknesses and our sins and have a closer relationship with Him, His promise to us is He will hear us and He will accommodate us, because He says that if you hunger and thirst, that's something that's very passionate. You hunger and thirst for righteousness, God's promise is He will fill us. That the more we draw closer to Him, the more we want to be close to Him, the more He always responds, because He loves us. And so Jesus says that blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. That's a promise. Now here's what we have to realize about that, though. The great difference is you're going to have hunger and thirst physically, whether you want it or not. But what Jesus is talking about is a chosen hunger. It's something that we want. It's an appetite and a craving that we develop and that we establish within ourselves, within our heart. It's something we have to choose, in other words. How hungry are we to want to be right with God? And again, His promise is, if you want this, I'll provide a way for you to find righteousness. And there are so many good examples in the Bible of this. And I was reminded of one that is a very familiar text to a lot of people. And that is of Acts chapter 8, when a man had traveled hundreds and hundreds of miles to go and worship. As a man who was a eunuch and who was limited in what he... Can you give me a tissue, please, if you don't mind? Thank you, brother. But a man who was limited in what he could do in terms of public worship as a eunuch, he could never go into... Thank you, brothers. He could never go into the inner part of the temple itself, especially as a proselyte, but as a eunuch, he was limited. And yet he was still willing to go and make this sacrifice to go and worship God in keeping the Jewish law as a proselyte. And what we see in reading Acts chapter 8 is a man, as we see in verse 26, who was passionate. Because the Lord said to Philip, "Arise and go to the south along the road which goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza." This is desert. "So he arose and went. Behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians, who had charge of all her treasury and had come to Jerusalem to worship, was returning. And sitting in his chariot, he was reading Isaiah the prophet." And that's the setting of when this Christian encounters this proselyte who has just returned from worship. And what we see is God did provide a way for this man to learn the truth. And that's exactly what Jesus said. If you want to be right with me, I will provide a way for you to be filled. And a person who's going to hunger and thirst for righteousness, as we see from this man, is a person who's going to be serious about worshiping God. And again, I remind you, he is traveling under some challenging circumstances. He's traveling by chariot, for one thing. He's traveling across the uninhabited areas, the desert. He is going to Jerusalem, which was hundreds and hundreds of miles from where he lived. This was not like a 20-minute drive. This was weeks of commitment to go and worship. And then, of course, he is coming back, and it's not like he said, well, you know, I've checked my box and I've heard all I want to hear. He's on his way back from worship, and he's still studying. He's still wanting to know more about God's Word. And that's just a good example, I believe, for all of us, about whether or not we really hunger to draw closer to God and be as close to Him as we possibly can. I'm reminded of a brother in Christ who goes to Africa every so often. And he's a friend of ours and have a lot of respect for him. And he does this on his own dime, if you will. He has a secular job, but he schedules it every year to where he goes and evangelizes and encourages brethren. And it's just a very uplifting thing to hear his reports. And you read these reports and things that they go through, and how these people will walk miles to come and worship and draw closer to God. And then there are those who will travel by bus, but I mean, these are not the easiest of accommodations of traveling. Very difficult, especially by our standards. And the few who do have vehicles, that they have constant challenges. You know, they don't have the abundance that we have, especially with parts and things like that. So it's just all kinds of different obstacles that they have to overcome just to make it to worship services. And then they'll gather in different places, sometimes in a person's house. And, you know, it's not the easy. It's not comfortable like we have. You know, all the ease that we have. But they do this because of their desire to seek God first and to worship God. And it's just a very encouraging thing to see reports of brethren in different parts of the world who are worshiping in conditions that are, by our standards, very difficult and very challenging. But that's what I see here in the eunuch, that he was overcoming different obstacles in order to be closer to God. And that's what God tells us, that we have to have that kind of passion. Psalm 42, beautiful psalm that we sing about. As the deer pants for the water brooks, so pants my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? And I think that's a great reminder for all of us as we draw closer to God. When I go back to the eunuch, what I see is a person who is hungering for righteousness, and that he was wanting to learn God's Word. Like I said, he was returning, as we saw in verse 28. And he was sitting in his chariot, and he was reading the prophet Isaiah. Now, it could have been that something was said while he was in Jerusalem, especially as he keeps reading about the servant who's going to die in Isaiah 53. But it's possible that something was said that triggered his interest, and he's wanting to examine it more closely. And so he's using his time to study God's Word on the way back home. And that's where the Christian comes in. The Christian, as it says in verse 30, came to him, and he ran to him and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah. Now think about that. Here's the eunuch who's reading, but he's reading out loud. Have you ever done that? I mean, actually, it's good not just to read out loud when you're by yourself, I imagine, but even pray. I mean, it's good for us to have our prayers privately to the Lord. But there's something about it. When you speak these prayers or speak God's Word, especially in reading it, when you're by yourself, it does something as far as permeating it into our heart. There is a difference there. Well, this man's reading it. And Philip comes to him and he says, do you understand what you are reading? And of course he says, how can I unless somebody helps me? So I want to hunger and thirst for righteousness. Okay, well, we're doing one good thing. We're gathering for worship. Another good thing we should do is we should hunger to learn more of God's Word, which is, again, why you're here. But that's what God wants. How hungry are we to learn God's word? You go back to my friend in Africa, that you'll come to scenes where you'll have an entire group of people and there's only a couple of Bibles among them. Very few Bibles in large groups of people. And like I said, they will gather for hours on end to come and hear somebody preach God's word and commit to a certain time to come and listen to God's word. Very important observation in drawing closer to God. We read a while ago from 1 Peter chapter 2, where the Bible teaches us, again, it's an appetite that we develop. Physically, you're going to have it whether you want it or not. Spiritually, it has to be chosen. And so he says in 1 Peter chapter 2 that laying aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking as newborn babes. So again, if you want to be right with God, commit to getting rid of the filth. Okay? Commit to no longer faltering between two sides spiritually. That I'm going to commit to the Lord and draw close to Him and be truly dedicated to Him. Get rid of all this malice, this deceit, hypocrisy, envy. Get rid of all that. And commit to pure living. As a newborn babe desires the pure milk of the Word, desire His Word that you may grow thereby. Now, do you know when a baby's hungry? Do you have any clue as to when a child is hungry? Well, that's what he's saying here. That you have to have that same determination to know God's word that a child does when a child is hungry. Now, you will know because that child is going to disrupt your world until you feed that child. But see, because the child's hungry. And he says you have to have that same desire. That hunger to know more and more and more. Yeah, okay, we have learned a lot, yes, but there's still more. And frankly, it's a great challenge retaining it all. I'm sure if you've been around the block a few times, you know, remembering all this stuff is very hard. That's why we have to have a constant hunger to learn more and more of God's Word. I had a friend, a Facebook friend, who went to Monte Carlo a couple of years ago. And she was getting on her flight back, and she was seated next to some people that were very interesting. And it was the couple from Duck Dynasty. And very friendly couple is what she said. Robertsons, I believe, Phil, and I can't remember his wife's name, but is it Robertsons? I believe that's right. Anyway, she was very impressed with him. Very down-to-earth people. But one thing that stood out to her was how this man, in a long flight, he kept his Bible open and how he spent so much time reading the Bible. And she was able to look closely at it and she saw all these types of notes that he had made within his work, the Bible. And you can just see, you know, somebody who would do something like that is very serious. Okay, they're serious about dissecting the Word of God and trying to know more about it. And that, to me, is a great example. Do I have that kind of hunger? You know, am I willing, on a long flight, am I willing to even pull out the Bible? Let alone consume it like this? You see? That's an example, I think, of what it means to really hunger for the Word of God. And she was impressed again. You know, here's a multimillionaire. And yet he has this worn-out Bible that's taped together because it is being used so much. That's a great reminder for me. You know, daily, do I have that? Will I pull out the Bible on my app? Will I listen to it when I'm in the car? Will I spend time with God's Word daily to draw closer? Not because I have to or because I'm with other people, but individually, do I have that passion to know more of God's Word? Somebody said this recently, and I think it's a good point. Have you ever been around somebody where they don't ever want to listen to you? They just want to talk and talk and talk and give their point of view, and they really don't care to hear what you have to say? Okay? Well, maybe you read about it. I'll just say it that way. But if you're around somebody like that, there's no intimacy there because it's all one-sided. And they made the point, it's a good point, are we like that with God? You know, we pray and we pray and pray and we ask God to help us, which is good. He wants us to. But what about the other side? You know, we talk to God, but are we willing to let God talk to us? And the only way He's going to is through His Word. That's the only way we're going to know His mind. And so we open His Word on a daily basis because we want to know more about Him. All right, so hungering and thirsting for righteousness. We're going to want to worship. Okay, nobody's going to have to force us to gather for worship. It's an opportunity this week to gather in moments each day. Real blessing. To come and draw closer to Him, be mindful of God's Word, and be uplifted by being together. And the singing's incredible here, by the way. I mean, it sounds like there's three times as many people in here. The singing is just really good. Well, that's an opportunity. That's a privilege, really, that we're going to have more time together. And it's not going to be easy. We'll have to make sacrifices. But the hunger, I want to draw closer to God. And think about it. What a blessing it will be after our days together this week, Lord willing, that we all have a closer relationship with God because of our time together. Real rich blessing. But not just worship, but studying God's Word. And as we see from Acts chapter 8, a person who hungers and thirsts for righteousness is going to want to be set free from sin. So he's studying Isaiah, and we'll talk about that more, Lord willing, tomorrow night. But he's reading this, and as he is studying this text with this Christian, he is being taught Jesus Christ. And the text says that as they came down the road, they came to some water. So you have the Christian who has joined this eunuch in his chariot, and they're studying from Isaiah, and they go down the road, and the non-Christian, the eunuch, says, "Well, wait, here's water. What hinders me from being baptized?" And what we see is that he did that because somebody had explained the Scriptures and especially taught Jesus to him, preached Jesus to him, as it says in verse 35. And the reason he wanted to be baptized is because that's what Jesus said. Again, verse 36. They're traveling. He's learning Jesus. They come to some water. He says, wait, I can do this right here. Here's water. Why can't I be baptized right now? And we understand by putting it all together, when you preach Jesus, you're going to preach baptism. And the reason that's the case is because when Jesus came back from the dead, he said to the apostles, "You go tell people that I've died for sin and I came back from the dead. He who believes and is baptized will be saved," is what he said. "But he who does not believe will be condemned." Well, a person who's hungering and thirsting for righteousness is going to want to do that. In Galatians 3:27, it says that's how we enter the body of Christ. And as we see in Acts chapter 22 and verse 16, Paul himself was told, before he became a Christian, "Why are you waiting? Arise and be baptized, washing away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord." So again, the question is, how hungry are we to be set free from sin? I remember when I was having this study with this lady, and eventually one service, she came forward. And we're there, and we're on the front pew. And she says, "Okay, I want to obey the gospel. I want to be baptized." And you know, we're trying to figure out, okay, why? Why do you want to be baptized? And she does this, she says this because she believes in Jesus and she wants to be set free from sin. And I said, "Okay, that's good, because that's exactly what Jesus said." And we go over verses just like this. And his promise is he'll take away our sins. And she goes, "Now, are you saying that all my sins are forgiven?" I said, "Well, that's what he's saying. You know, that if we believe in him and we're willing to be buried with him in baptism, we can raise to walk in newness of life. That's his promise. That's what he's telling us." And so I'm telling her this, and then she says, "Now, you're saying every sin, right?" I said, "Well, that's what he's saying, that you can be born again and all your sins will be forgiven." And then she says, "Now, you're saying everything?" And finally I said, "Look, I don't know what you're talking about. I don't know what you've done." Okay, he's not going to remove any type of physical consequences of our sin or any legal consequences. But he does promise to remove the greatest consequence, which is our spiritual debt to Him. Complete forgiveness. And when she heard that and when she understood that, she was willing to obey it. And she's still faithful to this day, many, many, many years later. But that's God's promise. And when a person understands that, and when they realize, okay, I can be right with God, when that opportunity is present, a person who is hungering and thirsting for righteousness is going to want to take advantage of that. Because the opportunity is there. Again, here's water, what hinders me? Why can't I do this right now? Well, if you really want it, you want to be right with God. His promise to us is that if we are willing to acknowledge our faith in Jesus, that we have faith in Him, and you can do that. You can believe Jesus is God's Son. And one of the main ways you can know that is because He came back from the dead. One of the main ones. But if you're willing to turn away from your sin and confess that faith and be baptized, that we just read, you will be forgiven. And if you are a Christian and have sinned, you can still hunger and thirst for righteousness yourself. Because we all struggle with sin. And His promise to us is, again, if we have faith in Him, we're willing to turn away from our sin, lay it down, put it away, confess we have sinned, 1 John 1, verse 9, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us, and we pray that we have to trust that He is a God who is willing to forgive us. That's there. That's on the table from God. But it's up to us to want it.